Mail. For instance, mail sent from Washington, D.C. to Gaithersburg, Maryland, a suburb, would be delivered the next day, but mail sent from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore would take 2 days.
France's new socialist president will be meeting with President Obama at the White House today. This weekend, it's to Camp David for the G8 summit and then to Chicago for a meeting of NATO. And today's the day Facebook changes its status to going public, and you can get something from it to post on your wall.
It'll be just like any other stock. Anybody can go online from their account and buy it.
That was CNBC's John Ford. This is NBC News Radio. Final preparations are underway at Cape Canaveral for the first private commercial spaceflight to the International Space Station. NBC's Conan Nolan says early Saturday morning the unmanned rocket will launch supplies to the station.
Success of the mission could usher in a new era in the privatization of space exploration and be a shot in the arm to Southern California's aerospace industry.
The Dragon rocket is produced by SpaceX in Los Angeles. Japan has launched a rocket with a South Korean satellite on board. It's Japan's first commercial launch of a foreign satellite. The jury in the John Edwards trial begins deliberations today. And it looks like we'll be in for a hot summer. Forecasters at NOAA say it will be warmer than normal from June through August. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get a brake done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Now, buy four select name brand tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
$100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 5/31/12.
The Nikkei, the most closely watched stock index in Japan, just wrapped up another losing week, its seventh in a row, longest run of weekly losses since the immediate aftermath of 9/11. Today it lost 3% after Moody's Investor Service downgraded ratings on 16 banks in Spain. Stock markets across most of Europe pointing lower yet again after the Spanish bank downgrades. The one European index not selling off is the one in Spain, the IBEX 35 holding near flat. Following a published report, Spain's government may ban short selling or betting on losses of banks. You wouldn't know overseas markets were in such a mess if you just look at Wall Street indicators. S&P futures up 5, NASDAQ futures up 9. So what's causing the bump? The big factor, maybe the biggest, is Facebook. After its stock priced at $38 a share at its initial public offering late yesterday, raising $16 billion and making Facebook the biggest IPO in history. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Attention residents of this neighborhood. My name is Dave, and I'm opening a new sporting goods store right down the street. So listen, if you're into sporting goods, stop in and buy some of my competitively priced gear. You won't regret it.
There's an easier, more effective way to find the customers that matter most. With Everydoor direct mail from the Postal Service, you can reach every home, every address, every time. Visit USPS.com/mail to learn more.
Oh, one more thing. Since I'm here, has anyone seen my cat?
Forward, so does the rest of the economy. CSX trains are the most cost-efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Hello, State Farm.
Hi, can I bundle my auto, home, and life policies together at State Farm?
You could save hundreds, and you can deal with just one State Farm agent.
Just one?
Just me.
I won't be bandied off to some bungling bargain basement bailiwick in East Bumstumble?
No, only me.
No BS, no baloney, and no ballyhooed bundling bunkum?
Believe it.
No matter how many policies you have, it can all stay with one State Farm agent.
Bless you.
Better?
Beyond better. Bye.
Bye.
Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today.
Right now at the Home Depot, save up to 15% on all in-stock wood fencing from pickets to panels when you buy in bulk. That could knock any fence project down to size in a hurry. And our wide selection of wood choices and styles puts everything you need within easy reach. So come in, load up, and save a bundle with up to 15% off all in-stock wood fencing when you buy in bulk. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Exclusions apply. U.S.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Truppiano?
Well, I'm ready for First Shift with Tony Truppiano, of course. Everywhere I go, there I am. I just can't seem to shake myself, so I've learned to live with it. And it's really not as bad as you might think. Truly, it's not. Good morning. Welcome back to First Shift. It is, by the way, Friday, the 18th day of May, 2012. I will remind you throughout the course of the day today that Sunday is the big flower day, flower and plant day at the Eastern Market. If you plan to go, my wife and I will be there. Say hey. I don't know what time we're heading down. If we're up to me, I think it starts at 8. We'd be there at 8. And hopefully my wife will agree to that because it's going to be busy. Last year, over 200,000 people attended. And I would imagine because the weather is going to be stunning this weekend. We're going to have perfect weather this weekend. Low to mid 80s, sunshine, no humidity. You got to love it. In fact, I think that I'm going to open the pool this weekend so that come next weekend, which is, of course, Memorial Day, maybe we'll just have the water warm enough to swim in. Although I got to tell you, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm a wimp. Until the water is warmer, you know, warmer, I don't go in there. I do not go in there. Men understand that a little more than women do. I'll leave it there. Anyway, good morning. We have a great show lined up for you today. Dizzy Warren will be joining us in the next hour. She is with Consumers for Healthcare here in Michigan. This is Women's Health Week, and as we close out this week, we will celebrate and talk to Dizzy about some of the great advantages of the Affordable Care Act, especially as it relates to women. Mark Schauer will join us, talk about last week's jobs conference, and find out what happened at the Marriott Renaissance Center. So we'll check in with Mark Schauer from the Blue Green Alliance and the jobs, he has the jobs 21 co-chair. So we'll look forward to that. Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift at 7:50. Bartosz Kumor will be with us today to give us an update on Gustavo and what's going on in that part of Metro Detroit. And there's actually a rally to support that effort at the ICE offices in Detroit, but he'll tell us all about that. Joe DeSano, of course, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Can't wait to talk to Giuseppe today. If you haven't been following the story of traitor Roy Schmidt, state rep, who went from the Democratic to the Republican Party in a last-minute decision, well, the drama kept unfolding throughout the day yesterday. And we're going to get to all that. Yay, yay. But with that said, there you go, Mouse. Do me a favor.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Predictions. Predictions are really difficult. I think that there are educated and uneducated predictions. I think that there are partisan predictions based on a certain point of view. But the reality is, and stop and think about this for a moment, is there such thing as an unbiased prediction? Is there? Can you honestly say that if you are going to predict something that you're going to look at the facts as they're presented and then say, based on these facts, no, of course not. You're not going to do that because predictions are a very personal thing and they're always slanted towards a point of view. Even those that claim to be nonpartisan really wink, wink, nudge, nudge aren't nonpartisan. Well, legally, perhaps. Maybe the language is there, but listen, when it comes to predictions, oh, you really have to weigh those things with eyes wide open. I only bring this up because we're going to hear a lot of predictions moving forward, predictions on whether this ends up on the ballot or that ends up on the ballot, who's going to win this race, who's going to win that primary, who's going to win the presidency, so on and so forth. Predictions, predictions, predictions. And interestingly, we have a tendency in this society to take a prediction as if it's God's gospel truth. And, of course, rarely, if ever, is a prediction the God's honest truth. Really? Right? Okay. So, listen, we can predict some things with greater certainty than others. Let's just be mindful of the foundation of where these predictions come from. Save yourself a little time, maybe a little heartache. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm just suggesting, maybe even a little embarrassment. So this is what I will predict right now, and I'll do it knowing full well it's true. I'm predicting that today's first word is predictions, and that is it. That is today's first word. So I'm right on that one, and no partisanship involved, so there's my exception to the rule. Good morning, Jeffrey. I'm also going to predict that I'm not very happy about the Tigers losing 4-3 yesterday, being swept by the Minnesota Twins. Oh, deep breath, heavy sigh, let's move on.
I will say I predicted this much. Watching the game yesterday, they had they were no hit going into what Brennan Bosch was he, I think he was leading off that inning. And I had heard the announcer of Mario and Pemba say, well, they're still looking for their first hit. And I was like, they're still looking for their first run. And I said it out loud, they might get it in the same at bat. And sure enough, Brennan Bosch hits a home run.
You are just so psychic.
I can't tell. I didn't know it was going to be him.
Jeff Radford, sports psychic.
That would be awesome. We should have a theme song for
that. You know what? I think we should start developing that program. No one, see, that they say that there are no original ideas, no fresh ideas. Think about this. Jeff Radford, sports psychic. Now, here's the deal, though. You're going to have to end up being accurate.
Or come up with really good excuses for why I'm not.
Well, that I can live with.
Well, that's called being a sports talk show host.
Well, no. We're gonna develop this. We're gonna kick it up a 3 or 4 notches. No, this is gonna be a very special program. I'll produce it. All right.
Oh, this should be fun.
I think we should develop it. Jeff Radford, sports psychic. Seriously, stop and think about all the money we could make. It's because it is about following the money, after all.
Right.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm thinking we at the staff meeting later on, we'll talk about it.
Whatever I said before, I completely stand by it now, whatever it was.
Okay. Well, unlike Mitt Romney, or I'm sorry, that is like Mitt Romney, isn't it? Oh, my. We'll get to that. By the way, on Tuesday afternoon, and Anthony, I wanted to ask you if you wanted to go. On Tuesday afternoon, I'm actually going to be meeting Eric Shelley at the Golden Gate Restoration Project, and he's going to give me a tour of the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you know, we talked about doing that the last time we had him on the show, and I want to see what's going on down there. I mean, aren't you kind of curious? I am.
Well, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to this. So he and I talked actually for a little while yesterday, and we set up a time. So Tuesday at 1 o'clock, Anthony, if you want to go, you're more than welcome to join me. And we're gonna look forward to doing that, because I think it's really cool that they've taken this area that was literally decaying in its own filth, and they are reviving it. And I'm actually quite curious to see what they're doing with their planting. So it'll be good. It'll be good. Who are the Tigers play this weekend, by the way?
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, that's right. I'm not a fan of interleague play.
Yeah, but you know what? It's here to stay.
Yeah, I
because
know.
Because now it's going to be every single week of the year coming up next year.
every single week of the year.
The season anyway, because as soon as the Astros switch back over to the American League, they won't have even numbers in either league. So every week next year in the baseball season, one American League team will be playing one National League team.
Okay, well, yeah, I, Jeff, really, what is the point of it? I'm serious. What's the point of having separate leagues if this is what you're going to do?
I have no idea.
Okay, I'm just curious. I mean, because it's not something I would follow.
It's basically just throwing them all together and then putting them into groups so that you can get to the playoffs. But you're right. I mean, if that's all you're going to do, then might as well throw all the teams in one giant league and just take from the top. That way you don't have to, worry about people are like, well, wait a minute. No, it's the Central Division doesn't deserve the playoffs. I mean, the East has four teams that are way better than it. It's like, okay, if that's the case, then throw all of the teams in together, make them all play each other, and then pick the top whatever you want, 10 from the top now, or 8 from the top.
Beyond the designated hitter, are there any different rules between American and National League, or is that the only difference?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty big difference, but...
No, I know, I didn't say that. I said, is there any other rules that are different in the American League versus the National League?
Not rules-wise, but...
Okay.
I mean, the DH is... People just assume, and I mean, not you. You know the difference, but if you just talk to a casual fan and say, oh, the only difference is the DH, well, there's a ton of strategy involved.
Oh, no, that changes the dynamic of the game radically. I just wondered if there were any other... If there are any other rules. Yeah, especially, people don't understand the last three stanzas of a game when you don't have a designated hitter. It changes everything.
Or the supreme way that Tony La Russa is credited of using the double switch.
Yes.
But it's funny. I was thinking about this about baseball. Think about this. Every other sport is timed, basically. I guess we'll just go with the major four, though. They're all timed. Baseball doesn't have that. They all have exact measurements of how their field or court or whatever should look. They're all regulated by their sports government or whatever. In baseball, you can design your field any way you want. You want to have a huge foul ball area? No problem. Your fences are going to be pushed in on one side, not the other. You're going to have a big green monster. Baseball doesn't care. Replay in every other sport, not baseball.
Baseball does have its own arrogance, that's for sure. All right, a quick break here. We'll come back. We've got a lot to get to. Would love to hear from some of you this morning. By the way, we do have copies of the book In Defense of Teachers by Barry Schumer. We're going to start giving them away today if you want one. If you don't want one, tell us that. But if you do and you call in and get on the air with something to say, well, that's how you get it. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Congress and I have certainly had our differences. I want to especially thank all the members who took a break from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws to be here tonight.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your ride, we got our first major problem of the morning. It's on 96 eastbound just before North Williamston Road. You got a vehicle fire, and that's blocking all lanes, so you probably want to avoid that area. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 77. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. This weekend, sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 49 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Susan Ademus is a political analyst for MERS News Service, Domestic Partner Benefits. When that went poof, the immediacy of that was radical for a lot of people. And more importantly, Susan, it hurt a lot of people.
That's a piece of legislation that I personally am very offended by and don't think ever should have come to pass. And I don't understand why a Republican governor who claims to support civil unions would ever sign such a piece of legislation. However, it's not unusual for legislation in this state to get immediate effect. In fact, it is the norm. It is the extreme exception to the rule when it does not, no matter how uncontroversial or controversial it is.
Is it time to change the rule?
Well, we can discuss it. We can have a philosophical discussion, but the rules are going to be made by whoever's in power, so I don't think that either of us would be able to persuade Jace Bolger.
With Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. A pleasure to be with you this morning. Article in yesterday's one of yesterday's papers, with the headline, State Expects Nearly $300 million More in Revenue This Year. So let's talk for a moment, because I had a great conversation with former Lieutenant Governor John Cherry yesterday off air. And Jeff, didn't you just tell me he's going to be on with us, not next week, but the week after?
29th.
And first of all, he's a great guy. He is an amazing man. I have a lot of respect for him. I got to know him fairly well when I ran for Congress. There was no one that worked harder than that guy. I'm telling you, you think of lieutenant governors, and I don't know what comes to mind. I don't know if you think of them in the way we think of vice presidents, which is they don't do much. Maybe people feel that way about lieutenant governors. I can honestly say that Lieutenant Governor Cherry and Governor Granholm, they had a partnership. Lieutenant Governor Cherry actually chaired and sat a commission to reform education here in the state of Michigan. It was a revolutionary event, really something they can be quite proud of. We talked briefly about this idea that the Granholm administration didn't accomplish anything, which, of course, is laughable. But when we started talking about the health of the Michigan economy, the lieutenant governor says to me, rightfully so, that although he understands that it's easy to take credit for that when you are the sitting political power, you really do need to be careful how much credit you take. Now, in presidential politics, maybe taking credit for something you didn't do, a la Willard, is something that we've come to just expect. That doesn't mean we have to accept it, okay? There's an expectations one thing, and an acceptance is quite another. So we see that there's going to be an increase of $300 million in revenue. That's a lot of money. What should we do with that money? That's going to be the question, right? And these estimating conferences that are now happening every quarter, we're seeing an increase in revenue on a quarter-to-quarter basis. So what do we attribute that to? Well, we can attribute it to a very healthy automotive industry. And I'm not just talking about the big three. I'm talking about all of the wonderful companies that feed into the big three. The manufacturing sector is really what I'm referring to. And because of their overall good health, and the idea that they're hiring more. In fact, General Motors announced yesterday that they're going to hire 200 more people in the Hamtramck plant. There was a great article in the Free Press the other day. For those of you that saw it, a reporter actually went into the Cadillac plant in Lansing and walked through the training because they're hiring 300, but it might have been 450, but I think it's 300 people there. And he went through their training program, which was really interesting to watch the video. He showed what they practice on, and it was really quite interesting and a lot more complicated than people might think. No question that was true. But, you know, we have to give credit where credit's due. And again, if this were something that the Snyder administration was responsible for, even though it'd be difficult for me and I have to swallow hard to do it, I would have to give them credit for it. But they have not created a single job. In fact, they've killed the public sector jobs in a significant way. In fact, a lot of the jobs that we've lost in the state are as a result of Snyder and Republican policies that continue to, especially when we look at education, to see what they've done in that realm and other realms. So if it comes to the public sector, they do a great job of killing these jobs. And so where do we give the credit? Well, we have to give the credit where it goes. The President of the United States for providing the bridge loans, the Granholm administration. And I want to remind you, everybody's in agreement on this. The rebounding of the economy in Michigan began in the year 2009. So 2009, 2010, both Granholm Cherry years, folks. You do get that, right? I mean, you do understand that that was under the last administration. So the state starts to revive itself under Democratic rule. And now we spring forward, and let's just talk about today, just very briefly, and we ask ourselves this question. What has this legislature and this governor, this administration done to strengthen the economy? What have they done? And I don't know that you can give me an honest answer to that. That is actually a very positive, honest answer. So I want to be very, very careful that as we look at celebrating the idea that we have, and you know, we're going to have an extra $300 million, and that's a lot of money, and I anticipate that that will grow. And by the way, that $300 million is a bipartisan agreed amount. Everybody agrees that money will be there. Everybody agrees that things are looking up. Now, the economy in general is looking up. We are seeing that more and more people are going back to work. And as I suggested on the program yesterday twice, not once, but twice, that had this Republican administration not hurt and killed so many public sector jobs here in the state of Michigan, our unemployment rate, which is now, I believe, at 8.3%, would certainly be under 8%, if not under 7%. But you can't change what is, right? We just can't. Well, we can. It's called an election in November. But we've got to deal with what we've got to deal with. And I live in reality. I don't live with this idea that we don't have to deal with it, because we do. So put some thought to that. Let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Bruce Felk joins us now. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, Tony. I just wanted to, I don't know if your listeners have filled themselves in on what happened at the Court of Appeals yesterday. They had a hearing about the Public Act 4 repeal, the Emergency Manager Bill being repealed or getting on the ballot. And there were only about 20 of us that got into the courtroom. I happened to be one of them, so it was kind of interesting. And I talked to the attorneys after the hearing, and they were not hopeful that the judges were going to rule in favor of putting the repeal of Public Act 4 on.
Why were they not hopeful, Bruce? I mean, I'm just curious.
They got three, just by luck of the draw, they got the three probably most conservative judges they could have gotten to hear the case. And I guess based also on the questions that the judges were asking of mostly the other side. And although it was very emotional, Herb Sanders is representing Stand Up for Democracy, and he had a rebuttal. He had a few minutes for rebuttal at the end, and he got very emotional because this is really about whether we're really going to have a democracy in Michigan and possibly the United States if these kinds of laws can be written, passed, and put into place, and entire cities basically put under a dictatorship.
Well, you know, and Bruce, thanks so much for the call. We had yesterday on the show Greg Bowens, who's the communications director for Stand Up for Democracy, and you know, certainly Greg laid out a compelling case. I wish we would have had more time with him yesterday. We just ran out of time. But he laid out a compelling case as to why we need to be concerned with this ruling. And it is. It is truly about protecting some basic tenets of democracy. Think about that. Let's take a quick break here. Mark and Canton, you'll be up next. 888-552-3595. Bruce, thanks so much for the update. We will take the break. We will be right back. Stay with us.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Checking your ride, we got our first major problem of the morning. It's on 96 eastbound just before North Williamston Road. You got a vehicle fire, and that's blocking all lanes, so you probably want to avoid that area. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 77. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. This weekend, sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 49 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. Since Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First shift with Tony
Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not.
All right.
All right. So ready. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Attention, foodies. Let's chow down. There's a new craze in cuisine world, and it's going 180 degrees in the opposite direction from the healthy eating movement we hear so much about. For example, instead of locally sourced beets and jicama on sustainably raised arugula dressed with small-batch artisan balsamic vinegar, we're talking a big Pizza Hut pepperoni and gooey cheese pie with, get this, a long looping hot dog stuffed right into the crust. Or, if that's not caloric enough for you, Pizza Hut is also offering a Belt Buster pizza that is ringed by a dozen mini cheeseburgers baked directly onto the crust. Hey, some might see obesity as a crisis, but Yum Brands, Inc., the conglomerate that owns Pizza Hut, sees it as a money-making opportunity. Don't fight it, feed it. Not to be outdone, the Burger King chain is test marketing a stunning advance in fusion cuisine at one of its Nashville outlets. It marries two essential food groups together, ice cream and pork. Yes, America, get ready for the Bacon Sundae, topped off with caramel and chocolate syrup. The pioneering innovator in obesity grub, however, comes from the place where anything goes and too much is never enough, Las Vegas. Many top chefs have opened four-star restaurants along the Las Vegas Strip, but none can outstrip a local diner when it comes to extravagant excess. The Heart Attack Grill takes pride in deep fried, and its menu is filled with unhealthy eats. Renowned for its quadruple bypass burger, butter fat shakes, and flatliner fries cooked in pure lard, the grill brags that it serves food with, quote, taste worth dying for. Indeed, two diners have collapsed so far this year while pounding down bypass burgers. This is Jim Hightower saying, so weigh in and bon appetit. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Friday morning. Appreciate you being with us. A $300 million surplus. What to do with the money? You'll recall just a year ago, a record was set by anybody's measurement when the legislature came up with a disastrous budget, although, again, in record time. But it was a disastrous budget because it took $1.8 billion that was in the pockets of seniors and middle class and gave it to corporations. That began a series of incredulousness. Can we return to some form of sanity? That's a great question. I can answer it. I don't think my answer is correct, though. And we're going to go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Mark in Canton, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning.
Hey, Tony. I love your show. It's a great thing you're doing. Very educational. In regard to the $300 million surplus, I think that money should go back to the education fund that Snyder stole from the people of Michigan. In fact, it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was $300 million. So that would replace the money back into the school aid fund.
Well, you know, interestingly, I'll let you continue, Mark, but interestingly, the school aid fund is also showing a larger surplus than anticipated. So it'll be interesting to see how they decide to divvy up those funds. But go ahead, Mark. Finish what you were going to say.
Well, to that, with the this new cyber school bill, and with the unlimited cap now on charter schools, which are simply capitalist vulture entities, in which you've got a for-profit charter or cyber school run by a 1% or CEO. It's simply it's just a device for a person to entertain their own personal greed at the expense of our children, because these monies are being taken from the local public schools, and it's in effect creating the de facto resegregation of our schools.
Mark, and I want to remind this audience, David Hecker had shared with us a New York Times article a couple months back where the chairman of a group called K-12 Incorporated, which is basically what it sounds like, incorporated education, his salary, his annual salary before bonuses is $5 million. There's nobody in public education that will ever make $5 million a year. That should tell us more than we ever need to know about the quote-unquote profitization of education. It's sinful what they're doing to education, Mark.
Well, one of the worst things, one of the worst companies is a company called National Heritage Academies. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they've come into many communities. There are other charter school companies, but they've come into many communities. And, as you know, they do not have to admit the same, they don't have to admit everyone. They can be selective as to who they bring into their schools. So what happens is they take our monies and they take the better kids. So the public schools wind up having to work with the kids that maybe have more disabilities, more learning disabilities, more physical disabilities, and therefore it just puts a tremendous strain on the teachers, the educators that are working with these kids. And so it's just another example of how greed has taken over all aspects of our culture, and now it's found its way into education.
Yeah, then Mark, are you interested in a copy of the book In Defense of Teachers?
No, but I heard about it yesterday, and it sounds like a great book.
You want one?
Sure.
All right. Well, we're gonna put you on hold, and Anthony will get your address, and we'll send you one out. Okay. Thank you so much for the call. I think you're gonna really enjoy that book. I know you're gonna enjoy that book just based on the conversation we just had. 888-552-3595. Mark obviously has been looking at this issue and understands it in a pretty profound way. My concern is we look at surpluses, and I understand that we need a rainy day fund, and we need this, and we need that. When we look at what we've done to education, both K-12 and higher ed, we are woefully behind, and I've said it on this program a lot. Governor Granholm did as much to defund education as anybody did. I get that. Now, there have been some on this show that have defended her decision to do that. The defense was, did she have a choice? They had to cut money. It was easy to do it. We can have that debate. But it's still, the fact still remains that she was responsible for cutting funding to education. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Mike in Ferndale. Mike, appreciate you punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Just one quick comment about the previous guy you just had on.
Yeah.
My main point. I've worked in charter schools for basically as long as I've had a career, so it's like 17 or 18 years. And it's been my experience that they do not always get the good students. So that part was not quite accurate.
Well, no. Let's make sure, Mike, we understand what he was saying. What he was saying was if a charter school does not want to accept a student, they don't have to. Where in the public schools, they do. That's what he was saying.
Well, no, that's not quite accurate. Well,
why isn't it accurate, Mike?
Oh, it's not. The public schools have a, like, if someone moves into the neighborhood, they have to take them.
Right.
It just seems a little misleading, but that's not my main point. My main point is, like I said, I've worked in charter schools for, like, 17 years, and I think for-profit public schools should be against the law.
Well, we're going to agree on that one.
They're not in it for the kids. And my mom's been trying to get me to mention this for a while. At Clintondale in Clinton Township, there is talk of closing one of the elementary schools and making it a charter school. And one of the things is that when the managing company that's going to be responsible for it includes some board members.
Really?
And possibly,
Mike, are you saying that members of the elected school board are going to start a for-profit school in the district that they are responsible, have a fiduciary responsibility for protecting?
Yes, I am.
That seems it would be illegal.
You would think, but Rachel Maddow had a thing about when they sold Pontiac Silverdome, about the guy who was when they did the emergency manager thing, and he sold to some Canadian and then ended up working for him.
Right.
Similar thing. That's, you know, and that should also be against the law without any statutes of limitation.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, I would agree with that. I'm going to have to look into that, Mike, because, if, you know, and here's the thing. It may not be illegal, and I'll bet you we'll find out it's not, but it certainly would be highly unethical. I mean, sweet
yes.
God. Right.
Yep.
But I'm going to look into that. Mike, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate you you ringing us up this morning. I'm going to look into that because, stop and think about that. And that's one of the problems with all of this new legislation that opened the door to this kind of tomfoolery is stop and think about the lunacy of an elected school board voting to close an elementary school and then members of that school board then profiting off of that. Again, it doesn't seem like it should be legal, but it could be because we live in a very crazy time. But God knows it wouldn't be moral, and God knows it wouldn't be ethical. But morals and ethics and values have very little to do with profit margin, right? And I would venture to guess the conservatives that listen to this program and the troll the Facebook page, etc., and say, well, you know, that's just good old-fashioned free market at work. Crazy, isn't it? Mike, thank you so much for that call. That was fascinating. Well, it's interesting. It's interesting to see what will come of this $300 million in found money, which isn't found at all because it has happened as a result of good, sound policy of years ago now bearing fruit. what will really be interesting to see, and I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for this long line of businesses that want to open up here in Michigan because the legislature created all this really business-friendly stuff that hasn't seemed to create a single job. In fact, it hasn't even spurred a discussion about a single job. And let me go back just for a moment before we get to the break here. This isn't just about the public sector jobs we've lost. How about in the film industry, which was really beginning to grow? I mean, in a profound way, beginning to grow, creating real good, dynamic, better than middle class jobs. And all of the sub-industries that were benefiting from that, the food industry, the education industry, etc. Governor Granholm's No Worker Left Behind program was brilliant in that it was giving people an opportunity, especially those in the automotive sector, a chance to really catch on in the film industry, which needed good, solid, hardworking, ethical union brothers and sisters to help carry that industry forward. It was working. And it was beginning to more than pay for itself because everybody wants to focus on that. But it was the gift certificate that we were giving away all this money. It was paying for itself very early on. And every prediction, don't care if it was on the right or the left, said that it would be profitable eventually. But nope, this governor killed it. This legislature embraced that death. And then they insult the industry by throwing a couple million at it here, a couple million at it there. In the meantime, we have zero to show. We are losing jobs as a result of this Republican administration. We'll take a break here. More on the other side. A lot going on. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. First Shift continues after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that
cross-class organizing that we strive to do it, because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruner, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in LA Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made, and that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Let's try to get to some local stories before we move on, because we're pretty jam-packed the rest of the day. I want to give you an update. Turkia Mullen, as you probably saw, I posted to the Facebook page yesterday early afternoon, maybe even been in the morning, wants severance, wants lifetime health care benefits. She wants. My understanding through private sources is she is withering away on the vine, is dying a slow financial death. Anyway, Channel 7 reports the following.
Turkia Mullen is now the latest of Bob Pacano's former appointees to take Pacano and the county to court. She made more money than Pacano, but now she wants even more.
She's without a job, but not short on demands. Today, Turkia Mullen took Wayne County to court, telling her old employer to pay up. Mullen says she's entitled to free lifetime health benefits and a $60,000 county payout she's owed for not jumping ship from the county sooner. She resigned from Wayne County last August to accept a higher-paying job as the CEO of Metro Airport, but that was short-lived. She was fired when 7 Action News exposed her secret $200,000 severance from the county. She lost out on that, but now she's trying to cash in on other sizable perks. Until recently, top brass at the county were entitled to free health benefits for the rest of their lives after working for only 8 years.
Walking away with lifetime health care benefits? I don't think that's fair.
When county officials learned we were preparing a story on that perk, they quickly decided to end it going forward. Mullen says she's entitled to it and insists she put in her 8 years. But the county, they say she's just a few days short to qualify. She also wants a $60,000 payout she says she was entitled to for not taking an early retirement last year. Mullen wanted to, she says, but Focano asked her and 14 others to stay and said they could cash out that benefit later. But then, amidst Mullen's severance scandal, Focano killed that benefit off, too. A court later ruled he didn't have the right to. So for those keeping score, here's how Mullen's payouts have stacked up so far and what she still wants. $200,000 a year from the county in salary, $160,000 in county contributions to her 401k, two $75,000 bonuses paid by local businesses and county contractors, $1,000 a month in car allowances, and on her wish list, another $60,000 in severance and free health care for life. It may seem excessive, but Mullen's lawyer says it's what she's entitled to.
And there was no comment today from Wayne County Executive Robert Focano's office. They say they still haven't been formally served with a copy of the lawsuit. I'm Ross Jones, 7 Action News.
Wow. I mean, listen. I understand why she's upset. By the way, Jeff, any idea, because I actually tried to do a little research on this, why she was getting two car allowances for one job?
I know, that's a good question, though.
And that one makes no sense. She was really getting quite wealthy off of this job. Now, you know, the part that they didn't cover in this is that she had an expense account. And I don't remember how much the expense account was, but it was significant. It was like $25,000 a year, which, again, isn't a direct benefit, but she directly benefits from it. And then we could go on. I mean, literally the list of perks of the job, and she did, as had she had been stayed on as the head of the airport, the perks there were astoundingly good, especially for what it cost to what it costs to travel these days. This is just ridiculous. Really just ridiculous. All right. Well, you know, it'll all work its way through the courts, whether it'll work its way out in a satisfactory way for taxpayers. And again, I take this a little more personally because I'm a resident of Wayne County. Our next story comes to us from Fox 2. We're going to actually talk with this on Monday with State Rep. Tim Bledsoe. But stand your ground. We became more familiar with it because of the Trayvon Martin case. But Michigan also has a stand your ground law, and some suggest it's time we eliminate it. This is what Fox 2 reports.
The streets of Detroit, described by some residents as the Wild Wild West. Detroit police overwhelmed, responding to carjackings, robberies, shootings. More and more citizens are becoming fed up, arming themselves.
The violence and the crime is rampant.
In his own words, State Representative Tim Bledsoe admits crime is rampant. Yet in House Bill 5644, the Democrat is proposing changing Michigan's version of what's commonly known as the Stand Your Ground Law.
The Stand Your Ground Law, by its very name, tends to encourage and promote vigilante violence.
Sparking the push to repeal the law is the incident in Florida, which 17-year-old Trayvon Martin was shot and killed after being confronted by a neighborhood watch volunteer.
This is not about criminal activity and defending yourself against criminal activity so much as to try to put a presumption on citizens that if they're in this kind of confrontation in a public place, the presumption should be that they would retreat rather than use deadly force.
2006, you pretty much had a duty to retreat, which meant if I was afraid of you and I'm at a gas station pumping gas and you're coming towards me, I had to retreat and run prior to doing anything. And that's just not a good law.
Carrie L. Johnson is an attorney and gun supporter. A few years back, the state made changes in the law, which broadened circumstances under which Michigan citizens can use lethal force in self-defense. Laws Johnson believes are needed now more than ever.
When you're in a war zone, you look for some sort of protection, and we're not getting it through, unfortunately, through the police because they're so overwhelmed with, number one, other calls, and number two, the lack of police that are on the job nowadays due to budget cuts.
Yeah, listen, I have no problem people, you know, defending themselves. I'm not opposed to the Second Amendment by any measure. I truly believe that there are opportunities to do this properly. This wouldn't be the proper way to do it. We do have laws that give citizens the right to carry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bottom line here. Again, and I agree with the somebody had said, the name Stand Your Ground is too aggressive. I mean, just the name of the law itself says I dare you, doesn't it? I mean, the bravado that's in that is just unnecessary, truly unnecessary. And so where this goes from here, we'll, of course, talk with Representative Bledsoe on Monday and see what the reality, and if there's a bipartisan support for this. And I suggest that I probably know the answer to that uncomfortably enough. But we will keep an eye on this story and, again, be talking about it with you on Monday's program. All right, that pretty much cleans up this hour. Let me tell you, we've got a great hour in the next hour. Talk a little bit about women's health care. I'm telling you, the Affordable Care Act does so many good things, and if you're only listening to the right talk about the negative spin, you're missing real opportunity to embrace and be excited about what this law does, and you're going to find out more in the next hour. Mark Schauer will join us, tell us how their conference went, and then, of course, Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift at the end of next hour. So we've got a lot of stuff to get to. Let's take a quick break here. I'm going to go fill up my coffee. You do the same. If you're driving, be careful. And we'll be back. This is 1310 WDTW.
Team 10. 710 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
All right, let's head over to 96 eastbound just before North Williamston Road. Got some good news. They've cleared that earlier vehicle fire, so there are no problems in that area. And it's also looking good on your commute. No slowdowns or accidents anywhere else on your drive. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 77. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. This weekend, sunny and in the mid-80s. And it's currently 49 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. You too could own a piece of Facebook. The social networking powerhouse sells stock for the first time this morning, $38 a share. CNBC's John Forte.
Once it goes IPO at around 11 Eastern in the morning, it'll be just like any other stock. Anybody can go online from their account and buy it. The question is whether it's a good investment.
Facebook shooting to become the first tech company valued at $100 billion. Tough times for tech giant Hewlett Packard. The struggling computer maker reportedly is weighing whether to cut as many as 30,000 jobs. Jurors began deliberating this morning at the trial of former presidential candidate John Edwards, charged with using campaign funds to cover up an affair. He faces up to 30 years in prison if convicted. And new insurance figures are something to chew on. The industry says it paid out nearly $500 million in dog bite claims last year. The profession most at risk? You guessed it, the postman. This is NBC News Radio. A Sanford, Florida police report says the Trayvon Martin shooting was avoidable. That's part of a new batch of evidence released in the case against Community Watch volunteer George Zimmerman. NBC's Kurt Gregory.
Among the evidence, never before seen photos of injuries allegedly sustained by the 28-year-old Zimmerman during his confrontation with Trayvon Martin, and images of the scene where the shooting took place.
Zimmerman awaiting trial on second-degree murder charges. President Obama dons his diplomatic hat today as he greets the new socialist president of France, Francois Hollande. Then it's on to Camp David to host a G8 economic summit. Members of Occupy Baltimore say they'll be out in force this weekend to protest. And move over salt and vinegar. Here come octopus chips. Just in time for summer, a baffling variety of chip flavors, including Lay's hot chili squid chips, onion rings and ketchup Doritos, and brace yourselves, seaweed Pringles. Your stomach may cry for help. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing.
Hi, Dave Lennox here. If you've just been waiting for the right moment to replace your old furnace or air conditioning system, that moment is here. Right now, you can get a rebate of up to $1,375 on a new high-efficiency Lennox home comfort system. So you'll save money now and in the long run. They may also qualify for state and local incentives in your area. So call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you. And get comfortable today.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Shopping around for insurance? With Auto Owners Insurance, every policy comes with a local independent agent, providing you more insurance choices to fit your needs. When it comes to insurance, keep it simple. Talk with a real agent. Auto Owners Insurance is ranked highest in customer satisfaction with auto insurance claims experience 4 years in a row, according to J.D. Power and Associates. For award information, visit jdpower.com.
For your life, home, car, and business insurance needs,
in St. Clair, call Aitken and Ormond Insurance at 810-329-4749.
The eyes of the investment community, especially the tech investment community, almost universally are fixed on Facebook today, for good reason, as its stock debuts on the NASDAQ this morning following tech's biggest IPO ever. The Facebook hoopla is getting credit from analysts for the fact Wall Street futures are blazing a path higher in defiance of markets pretty much everywhere else in the world. Right now, S&P futures are gaining 5 points, NASDAQ futures up 11, Dow futures rising 42. Stock markets around the world mostly down today after 16 Spanish banks got their credit downgraded. As most here watch Facebook, at least one Wall Street regulator is watching Groupon. Wall Street Journal says an investigation is in its early stages, but it's centering on why Groupon stock rallied out of nowhere before its surprisingly strong earnings announcement this week. Groupon stock rallied 18% during trading on Monday. The company reported earnings after the closing bell. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Attention residents of this neighborhood. My name is Dave, and I'm opening a new sporting goods store right down the street. So, listen, if you're into sporting goods, stop in and buy some of my competitively priced gear. You won't regret it.
There's an easier, more effective way to find the customers that matter most. With Every Door direct mail from the Postal Service, you can reach every home, every address, every time. Visit USPS.com/mail to learn more.
One more thing. Since I'm here, has anyone seen my cat?
Forward, so does the rest of the economy. CSX trains are the most cost-efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get the brakes done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Now, buy four select name brand tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
$100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back, if that is indeed the case. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday, May 18th, 2012. I've got a great hour of radio planned for you. We're going to meet my first guest in just a few seconds. Dizzy Warren will be joining us. And she is with Michigan Consumers for Healthcare. We'll talk to them in just a second. At the bottom of the hour, former congressman and current co-chair of the Jobs 21 program with the Blue Green Alliance, Mark Schauer, will be with us to talk about their recent jobs conference. We'll get an update from him and an assessment of how the conference went. And, of course, First Shift celebrates every single day at 7:50. The wonderful work that's happening within inside the activist movement known as Occupy Detroit. So we'll get to all of that as we work our way through the day today. It is National Women's Health Week. Are you aware of that? And so we celebrate women's health. Everybody that listens to this program knows that we focus a lot on women's issues on this show for a variety of reasons. No one else does, and it's important that we do and that somebody does. Anyway. My guest in this first segment is Dizzy Warren. Dizzy is a longtime outreach professional who works collaboratively to build relationships with key stakeholders throughout the state to increase the presence, impact, visibility, and consumer voice of the coalition. She is the former executive director of the National Resource Center for the Healing of Racism and former president and CEO of the Urban League of Battle Creek. She joined Michigan Consumers for Healthcare in July of 2011, and joins us this morning on First Shift. And Dizzy Warren, it's a pleasure to welcome you to First Shift. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to discuss this
issue.
No problem. Tell us a little bit about Michigan's Consumer for Healthcare. It's not a group that I was familiar with until we booked you, and I'm glad that we found you.
Well, great. We are just getting ready to celebrate our first anniversary. We were formed in 2011 by a group of nonprofits statewide who recognized the need to have the consumer's voice at the table as the state of Michigan began the work of establishing the health insurance exchange according to the Affordable Care Act. And so we are a coalition. Right now we have over 150 coalition members statewide. Groups like AARP, American Cancer Society, faith-based groups and organizations, nonprofits, business, and et cetera. So we are all working for the same thing, to make sure that when the state develops the health insurance exchange, that the consumer's voice will be heard and is a part of that planning.
Now, that's a critical component. You know, Dizzy Warren, I was saying just about 15 minutes ago, there's so much misinformation and disinformation about the Affordable Care Act. We have, of course, on this program really laid out, as information has been available to us, how important the ACA has been to seniors and other constituencies. And we know moving forward, and I believe it's starting on August 1st, that more access, and this is critical, more access to women's health care becomes available. And for some women, for the first time ever, they will have some health care options that they have never been able to benefit from before. The Affordable Care Act is working, isn't it?
Oh, it's definitely working, especially as it relates to women and their family members. Everything from free immunization, free mammograms, things like free screenings for things like autism, which is a growing disease in this country. Just a number of benefits are already in effect for example, for young women up to the age of, or young people up to the age of 26. One of the current benefits is that they can continue to be covered by their parents on their parent health insurance. And that's a big one for a lot of adults. We think there's over 2 million young adults who are already getting that kind of benefit. And so there are a number of benefits in every category, especially in the age of women lives, from children, such as the removal of the ceiling on lifetime limits that you can pay, or that insurance companies will pay for children. That's gone. They can no longer refuse to cover your insurance because you've reached some sort of lifetime image. And then, as you mentioned, as time moves on, additional benefits are added. So for adults, that lifetime limit will be lifted in 2014. So those are just some of the benefits, but there are benefits from children through seniors that we currently have available to us right now.
Well, you know, I don't know what the predictors tell us, and I'm sure that there are estimates out there that would give us these fantastic numbers, Dizzy Warren, that would say, hey, listen, from a preventative standpoint, once the Affordable Care Act is fully installed, you know, that we're going to save annually X amount of dollars. And I know those numbers are important, because you also have the naysayers on the other side that are saying, oh, my God, this is adding just it's going to add trillions of dollars of debt to what is already a disastrous decline in our budgetary process. Now, we know that's not true, Dizzy. And we know that at the end of the day, that this is something we should have done decades ago. In fact, had we have, you know, people just, they have very short memories, or they don't know their history. Medicaid, Medicare was supposed to be the national model. We just didn't finish that job when Congress had an opportunity to do it, or we would have never had this conversation to begin with. This stuff is way overdue.
Exactly. And the cost is, one way to look at the cost and the impact that having the healthcare reform go through completely. You can look at it in terms of the economy of scale. For example, if you wanted to go and buy one dress from a store, it may cost you one thing. But when you're a store like, say, a Walmart, and you buy 10 million of those dresses, then what you pay for it is going to be a lot less. And we have the model in Massachusetts where it is already being shown that because of the economy of scale and the purchase of insurance, for example, through the exchange, it has already decreased the cost of health insurance in that state by about 18%. So the while there are conversations that are taking place on both sides of the aisle, there are real models that give you the actual facts of the impact financially. And you're right. If we had done this decades ago, our health care costs, by all estimates, would not be anywhere near what they are today.
Well, again, let me get out some good information. You guys have a fabulous website, lots of great information. And in fact, it's worth going there just on the right-hand side. They have upcoming events, and I'm going to share a couple of those in just a moment. But if you just go to MichiganConsumersForHealthcare.org, MichiganConsumersForHealthcare.org, and you're going to, again, find a lot of great information. They've got a blog there. They've just got a lot of great information, but they've got some upcoming events around the state that you may be want to be aware of. Tomorrow, in fact, in Lansing at the Trinity Church, there is a health care fair coming up on May 22nd at 1 o'clock. I was just at the Kellogg Center last weekend. Is another event, a special anniversary of the coalition gathering. The Affordable Health Care Act, What's in It for You, on May 23rd at 1 o'clock at the Word of Light Christian Center in Jackson. I mean, you know, Dizzy, I would imagine you've got a hand in all this as an outreach coordinator, reaching out as you are this morning of the many duties you have. I would venture a guess that when you start telling the story of the Affordable Care Act, people are stunned by the reality of what's both happening and going to happen. I'm just guessing that that's true.
No, that is definitely true, but it's not just true in Michigan. It's true all over. We spend a great deal of our time as coalition members trying to help people understand what the facts are as it relates to the Affordable Care Act as opposed to the rhetoric. And so there are national public research polls that show that right now about a third of the country think that, or about a third of the country is in favor of the Affordable Care, about a third is think that they are against it, and another third that's right in the middle. But when people find out what's really in the act, the actual fact as relates to the benefits we are receiving and the cost, those same opinion polls, when they're given to the same people, go up dramatically. And for women, you mentioned earlier, this is National Women's Health Week. For women, when they hear about what's really going on with the Affordable Care Act and the benefits they receive and their family members, those polls go up dramatically, again, sometimes by as much as 50%. And so we're spending a great deal of our time as coalition members, as staff. We have regional coordinators who are staffed throughout the state, who work with groups locally who are interested in learning more about the Affordable Care Act. We provide trainings. We provide mini grants so that people can work with folks in their own community.
Hey, Dizzy, let me interrupt you for just a second. We've got to get to a break. Can I ask you to stay with us a little longer?
Sure.
Great. Good. Do that. I want to talk a little bit more about the health exchange, and I don't think people understand what that means. And, again, there's a lot of negativity that surrounds these conversations. We want to correct as much as we can today, and we're going to do that. Let's take a very quick break. Dizzy Warren is with us. Again, the website, MichiganConsumersForHealthcare.org. We take the break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Well, we just picked up our first accident of the morning. It's on 96 eastbound at Milford Road, and it's blocking your left lane, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from Kent Lake Road. Also got slow traffic in the construction zone of 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 M14 exit. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 77. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. This weekend, sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 49 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is Congressman Gary Peters. He, of course,
does not make any sense that in July that the interest rate that students will have to pay on their Stafford loans will double from 3.4% to 6.8%, adding an additional burden on those students who are already racking up debts as a result of the high cost of the college education. But you just think about it, at a time when you can get long-term 30-year mortgages for 4%, and you can have treasury bonds or treasuries at about 2% for a 10-year treasury, why you would charge 6.8% to student loans on federally subsidized loans. It does not make any sense given where interest rates are right now. And it certainly places a burden, an additional burden on our students who are moving to get ahead in life.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. My guest again, Dizzy Warren. She is the Community Outreach Manager for Michigan's Consumers for Healthcare. Again, you're going to find them online at consumersforhealthcare.org. I want to encourage you to go to the website. I'm sure that it's up on the Facebook page already. There's just a lot of great resources there. Let's talk, Dizzy, and thank you for staying with us. Let's talk a little bit about the healthcare exchanges, because I don't think people understand. They may hear the conversation, but I don't think they understand what that is.
Okay, the healthcare exchange is a requirement of the Affordable Care Act. It's a marketplace where insurers will be invited to participate, where folks that are looking for health insurance options will be able to go and find information in an accessible way, in an easy way, to be able to look at the offerings provided to determine which insurance packet is right for them and or their family members. So it simply is a marketplace where Michigan residents that are looking for insurance can find all the insurance information that they need to make their decision for their family members.
And if the state doesn't provide that as part of the provisions, what happens in that state?
for those states that decide not to develop their own health insurance exchange, the federal government will come in and do it for them.
Okay, that was a message, by the way, to the Republican legislature that's listening this morning. You need to take care of this and stop bellyaching about it.
Exactly.
Well, it's just common sense. I mean, there are the certain things that just makes sense. And Dizzy, as we talk, and we could actually, and we probably should, and so why don't we? We know that in minority communities, access to health care is even more difficult for minority communities. We know, again, we talked about women, how they have had some challenges. There are other constituencies that seemingly have been kept away from not just affordable health care, but health care in general. And the idea, Dizzy, that we live in a country with all the resources we have, with the greatest delivery of health care in the world, and yet we don't take care of our own. In fact, we're the only industrialized country that does an atrocious job of taking care of our own. We should be ashamed at what we've done.
Exactly. You're right, Tony, totally, that lack of access to health care and lack of health care, the impact on women of color specifically is a lot greater than the general population. Right now, women of color make up about 36% of the women in the United States, but we are more than 50% of the uninsured women in the country, which means that we are not getting even the access or the opportunity to get the health care that we need. And so the Affordable Care Act, by making health insurance coverage available to everyone who can afford to pay, or I should say to citizens and permanent residents, more than likely these numbers will be greatly decreased. In fact, I think the studies are saying that this, just by providing health insurance access through these exchanges, that it could easily minimize these down to less than 3 or 4%, these same numbers. And so it's important that we work to make sure that this health exchange is developed ideally by our own state, but if not, like we said earlier, the federal government will come in and do it. And some of these currently uninsured folks, women specifically, will definitely have access to health care, many of them, for the first time.
Which, again, is almost unconscionable, but let's look at it as a positive, the positive path that moving forward, there's access, there's opportunity. Dizzy Warren, let's talk a little bit about what may happen moving forward as well. Doesn't the Affordable Care Act open doors that, of course, previously were not open, but give us an opportunity to participate in health care in a way that we've never been able to, giving us a voice where we've never had one before?
Exactly. When we talk about the Affordable Care Act, we usually put it in three different categories in terms of the benefits. The first category is the preventive care. This is an area that, of course, we all need just to stay healthy, but it includes things like contraceptives and screenings for various diseases and so forth. And the thing that's important about that is that without costly copays or higher deductibles. The second category, when we talk about the Affordable Care Act, is the protection that it provides against discriminatory health insurance practices like charging women more than men for the same policy, or equally important, for refusing to cover kids with pre-existing conditions. So we look at the protection that the Affordable Care Act offers. And then the last area category is the security that the Affordable Care Act provides, and that is knowing that insurers can no longer cancel our coverage when we get sick, or refusing to cover medical care if it gets too expensive for them. And so it prevents them from increasing our premiums, putting a lot of people in poverty when they might have been able to afford it on their own already.
And so when Mitt Romney, Dizzy Warren, and I hate to interrupt you, but we're getting close to running out of time. When Mitt Romney says, day one, I'm going to repeal Obamacare, Well, that really just sends a message that on day one of a Mitt Romney presidency, those that now have access to health care, those that have some protections, those that now have reasons to be optimistic, those that have children that have stressed families financially for years that finally see a little daylight, well, they can expect all that to go away. We're going to revert back to a system that just says, no, 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 this is about profit for insurance companies.
And rising and continuous rising health care costs for all of us, not just for those. The problem will not just affect those who are uninsured, but also those of us who are paying for insurance, because part of the one of the reasons for the rise in health care costs is to help pay for those who are uninsured, well, those who show up in emergency rooms.
Now, you know, and Dizzy, so I just had a conversation.
All of us.
I just had a conversation with an emergency room doctor, a 25-year emergency room doctor, mm-hmm. whose heart gets broken every single day by people that have to use the emergency room as the doctor's office, because they understand, they know that they cannot be denied what little access to health care they get in that regard. And it's a damn shame that we even have to concern ourselves with this in the year 2012. We have got to do a better job of taking care of our own. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. We're finally doing something about it. It would be disastrous to turn back the clock on this particular issue. Dizzy, thank you so much for your time. Let's visit again soon.
Yes, please.
I appreciate it. No, thank you. Consumersforhealthcare.org, again, is the website. We've got to get to a break here. Mark Schauer on the other side. Great conversation as the National Women's Health Week comes to a close. I'm glad that we were able to get this conversation in. We'll take the break. We'll come back with Mark Schauer right after we do this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Well, we just picked up our first accident of the morning. It's on 96 eastbound at Milford Road, and it's blocking your left lane, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from Kent Lake Road. Also got slow traffic in the construction zone of 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 M14 exit. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 77. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. This weekend, sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 49 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Madison, Wisconsin-based Center for Media and Democracy Thursday released a report called ALEC Exposed in Wisconsin, the Hijacking of a State. Center for Media and Democracy Executive Director Lisa Graves says it documents the extraordinary corporate influence of ALEC's legislative agenda that goes far beyond mere lobbying to give unelected corporate lobbyists equal votes with lawmakers on Wisconsin laws.
Our key findings are that 32 bills or budget provisions that have been introduced in this past year and a half reflect ALEC model legislation. 21 of these bills were passed. 19 of them became law. Over $250,000 has been given to ALEC legislative members in the state by ALEC corporations for campaign donations since 2008. And nearly $500,000, $400,000, has been given to Scott Walker to his state account since 2008.
The Center for Media and Democracy and Common Cause are calling on attorneys general in Wisconsin and other states to investigate ALEC's legislative role and its claim that it isn't a lobbying organization. Graves says ALEC's heavy-handed control over many state politicians, including key legislators in Wisconsin, amounts to a corporate hijacking of state government.
When you look at that information in the totality, we think it's fair to say that ALEC has helped hijack Wisconsin. And we think it's fair to say that the people of Wisconsin have not been informed by their elected officials about the role of ALEC.
That daily coffee habit of yours just may make you live longer. Jesse Russell explains.
Did you remember to drink your cup of life-extending liquid this morning? A newly released study from the AARP and the National Institute of Health has found that the black gold workers slugged down each day might have life-extending properties. After analyzing data collected from 400,000 people who were studied for more than a decade, it was learned that one cup of coffee per day reduced the chance of death in women by 5% and men by 6%. Perhaps the most startling data released in the study is that women who consume more than four cups of coffee a day on average extend their life bar by 16%. The study didn't find any definitive results as to why coffee drinkers appear to live longer than non-drinkers. The study also found that coffee drinkers had a lower chance of dying from heart or respiratory disease, stroke, and diabetes, as well as death from accidents or injury. However, there was no difference when it came to cancer rates.
This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning, 7:35. I promised you last week when we talked with Mark Schauer that after the conference we would have him back to kind of wrap up what happened, because we really didn't give that justice. We really just, again, the reality of what's going on right now, we have so little time to give all the issues we'd like to give time to. So, with that said, Mark Schauer joins us again. He is, of course, the national co-chair of the Blue-Green Alliance's Jobs 21 initiative. Many of you, of course, will remember his time in the State House and in the State Senate, not to mention his time as a member of Congress from Michigan's 7th Congressional District, and he joins us this morning to kind of wrap up the conference that was at the Renison Marriott. And, Mark, I want to welcome you back to First Shift.
Well, good morning, Tony. It's great to be with you.
Listen, I understand things went really well, very well attended. So let's talk a little bit about how things played out and your impressions of what happened.
Well, I think it was a great gathering of about 500 activists from organized labor, environmental groups, community-based activists, business, social justice groups, and it was about the common shared work that we can do to move our economy forward and continue to grow the clean economy, which is the fastest growing sector of our economy. And it's about I call it four wins, win, 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 of creating and saving these good 21st century American jobs, reducing greenhouse gas emissions and, you know, protecting our environment. That's the second one. And here in Michigan, the Great Lakes are pretty darn important to us. Third is making us more energy independent. And, you know, having homegrown energy here, particularly renewable energy and energy that's saved through energy efficiency and so forth. And then the fourth is making us more globally economically competitive, more globally competitive. And, you know, I had some interesting meetings. I had kind of a sidebar meeting with the Deputy Secretary of Energy, with a steel company that's making the lightweight steel that's going into our new fuel-efficient vehicles. I met with a wind energy developer that's planning to build a wind farm here in Michigan. We talked about manufacturing those components here in Michigan. UAW is a part of that conversation, and of course we know they've added 200,000 new auto jobs in partnership. Actually, the auto companies have, in partnership with the UAW, 200,000 new jobs in the last 2 years. So we think we've got a good formula. It's part of our Jobs 21 jobs plan, and At this time, we think our country needs a jobs plan just like this.
Well, you know, first of all, let me just say next year, no matter what, we're going to bring the show live to the conference and really give it its due that we just didn't have a chance to do this year for a variety of reasons. But next year we will correct that. But, Mark, let's talk for a minute about some of the controversy or perceived controversy surrounding the idea of green jobs. And conservatives will say, you know, once again, this is about, you know, the government picking winners and losers. Of course, I'm going to profoundly disagree with that because we've got data. We've got factual data. The first time you and I talked, which was about a year ago, we have factual data that supports that the energy and effort that's being put into the Jobs 21 program is really the trend of the future. In fact, I don't see growth in too many industries that is similar to what you're able to show and produce through the work you are doing at the with the group Blue Green Alliance.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I mentioned the jobs created in the auto sector. It's very clear that you know, we're leading the world again. You know, as a result of, you know, policies to help the auto industry, encourage investments in battery technology, and help the auto companies retool. You know, Michigan has about 40% of the new battery capacity in the world. 40% right here in the Mitten State. You know, that's a direct result of thoughtful policies and thoughtful investments. I mean, others have done. Brookings Institute has done reports on the growth of the clean energy sector. I mean, during the recession itself, the clean economy grew 8.3%, while the rest of the economy was in a free fall. You know, here in, you know, one of the things that's really important, and we're you know, the Congress has this in the palms of their hands right now, is reauthorization of the transportation bill. We know that just this, you know, if Congress does its job, will create 3.7 million jobs in transportation and construction and manufacturing of new high-speed trains, transit vehicles, buses, the steel for bridges and rebar for rebuilding our highways and our roads. So, yeah, the facts are there. I mean, you probably saw a report that just came out during our conference that Detroit has the second fastest manufacturing growth of any city or region in the country. Detroit, number two in the country, and it's a result of these clean jobs that are being created right here in our state. So I think, you know, what's clear when you see attacks on, you know, political attacks, it is campaign season now, when you see attacks on an industry like the renewable energy industry with facts that just are not correct. You know, Americans for Prosperity has been up on the air attacking, you know, the clean energy industry. I mean, they're just it's part of a political agenda, and you know, we need to be focused on economics and the economics work, and that's one of the reasons, you know, Blue Green Alliance has been so active with this Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs Initiative to create even more construction and manufacturing jobs generating renewable energy here. We're seeing wind farms pop up all over the state. It's exciting. It's great. You know, some want to keep us dependent on foreign energy sources and energy sources that are creating jobs in other states rather than Michigan.
Well, you know, I want to remind people a very simple fundamental fact. The Blue-Green Alliance, the blue stands for what, Mark?
Blue-Green Alliance?
Yeah.
You know, blue is the men and women that wear hard hats. These are blue-collar workers. You know, we're very proud of our union partners that make up part of the Blue-Green Alliance. The green is is environmental groups, and green is our environment, our planet, our Great Lakes, our rivers and streams, our air, the air that we breathe, and we've got some, you know, four outstanding environmental partners that make up the green part of the Blue Green Alliance, and it's a unique partnership. At our conference, we heard from Leo Girard, the head of the United Steelworkers Union. He and Carl Pope, former head of Sierra Club, decided that we know when we disagree, and we can focus on areas where we disagree. But they decided that, you know, they rejected the notion that it's either the environment or jobs. They said it's either both or neither. And so that was the founding of the Blue Green Alliance 6 years ago. And I'll tell you, I don't know if you read, I'd point your listeners to Carl Pope's column in the Huffington Post, just sort of capping the Good Jobs, Green Jobs conference in Detroit last week. And it was sort of an homage to John Dingell and John Dingell's acceptance speech when he received an award along with Debbie Stabenow last week at the Good Jobs, Green Jobs conference. And he praised the dean of the house, but talked about how the dean sees the future very clearly. And Congressman Dingell, you know, my good friend, said, you know, every job should be a green job. We should be thinking about things, you know, sort of from a new paradigm, and saw that, you know, we're not, we haven't inherited the planet from, you know, our grandparents. We're borrowing it from our grandchildren. And, you know, John Dingell knows, as he's been instrumental in the shift toward fuel-efficient vehicles and cleaner cars and all the manufacturing jobs that come from that, you know, this is our planet. We are stewards of this planet for our grandchildren. And we ought to realize that, you know, that's not only the right, the moral thing to do, but we're creating, you know, tens of thousands of jobs and millions of jobs here in this country by doing what's right.
No, you know, Mark Schauer, as we get ready to wrap up the interview, I've got to tell you, and you and I have had this conversation privately, and we've actually had it publicly as well, I was profoundly disappointed that you didn't run for Congress again. But I have a feeling, as you continue to educate me, and you do a profoundly good job of doing that, of the importance of the work you're doing as the co-chair of the Jobs 21 program and the great work that's being done through the Blue Green Alliance, that perhaps this everything in your life perfectly led you to where you're at right now. Because I don't know if there is a more important initiative for literally the future of the way we look at everything from education and jobs to what is happening in these important partnerships that you've put together. Mark, I know that we'll visit again. Have a great weekend, and I appreciate
you too, Tony. Appreciate your work and that of all of your sponsors out there.
Thank you. Mark Schauer, once again, the co-chair of the Blue Green Alliance's Jobs 21 initiative. Let's take a break here. Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Well, welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through
through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Elizabeth Weidner joins us now.
The founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Welcome back, folks. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Tony Trupiano with you. I got to tell you, I just got an email from the Democratic National Committee. Now, it's from them, but they're not the ones that wrote it. It's actually an article from the Washington Post, and the headline reads, Mitt Romney's claim that 100,000 auto jobs have been lost under Obama is not quite accurate. Now, before we do that, before we go there, Jeff found an interesting Mitt Romney quote that, I don't know how to describe this, we'll let Mitt Romney say it in his own words, and then we'll come back and discuss this, because I got to tell you, had anybody else had said what Mitt Romney said, it would probably be front page news today. You'll figure this out quickly. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm not familiar precisely with exactly what I said, but I stand by what I said, whatever it was. And with regards to, I'll go back and take a look at what was said there.
Okay. I'm not sure what I said, but I'm going to stand behind what I said, even though I don't know what I said. That is what he said, right, Jeff?
I'm not familiar precisely with exactly what I said, but I stand by what I said, whatever it was. And with regards to, I'll go back and take a look at what was said there.
Okay. I'll let it speak for itself. Okay. Mitt Romney has an issue with the number 100,000, and this is part of the problem. And for those of you that have not been following this, let me just share with you what happens. What happens is Mitt Romney claims that he created X amount of jobs when he was governor of Massachusetts. Well, that number turns out not to be true. Then he claims that when he was running Bain Capital, they didn't eliminate 100,000 jobs, which is, by the way, verifiable and true. So that 100,000 figure is where we run into a problem. Now he says that under President Obama, that he has cost the auto industry, quote-unquote industry, 100,000 auto jobs. All right, well, it's not true, and you can't prove it. The biggest problem is that Romney is counting all the jobs added by companies long after he had left Bain Capital. Because he says they only lost, I think, 12,000 jobs or something. And the automotive sector, of course, he's just fundamentally wrong. And here's the problem. And we need to have this discussion. Because, you know, some will say, well, the Obama camp is going to do it as well. And it's not true. And I'm going to tell you why. I posted to the Facebook page yesterday a response to an ad that was put together by Karl Rove's group. And I don't remember the name. It's Americans for something or other. I can actually figure it out real quick. But anyway, so they come up with this super PAC comes up with this ad that is fundamentally false. So the Obama campaign puts together a 3-minute video, which I posted to the Facebook page. You can find it easily enough. Stephanie Cutter is the person that breaks down the ad that Karl Rove put together and disqualifies everything that the conservative ad says Obama did. You following me? So it's wrong. Well, here's the problem. Whether you're a PAC, whether you're a candidate or candidates committee, at some point people are going to fact check you. Now, I think that it was during the Kerry campaign in 2004 that I begun to realize facts don't matter a whole lot. And that's really where this gets uncomfortable for some people, because we would think, and especially as us Democrats fighting to you know, get an inch anywhere we can get an inch, right? We scream and yell, but that's not the truth. You know, let's deal with the truth. But a lot of people don't care about the truth. In fact, a surprising amount of people just find that it's convenient, way too convenient, to just ignore the truth for the lie. And why do they do that? Because it's easier to remember the lie. Oh, how sadly true that is. But it is easier to remember the lie. Because a lie can just be as simple as, well, that's not true. And then that's all you have to spout, right, is that's not true. But we take a look, again, at Mitt Romney. He loves to, and by the way, Mitt Romney loves to repeat bad information over and over and over again. He appears to, you know, he appears to be saying stuff as if he actually believes it, but you have to wonder, because it's not like he's not presented with facts to dispute it, that he either doesn't want to buy into that truth or he just won't admit that he's wrong. Now, here's again, you know, Jeff and I were talking about this before the show today. Character assassination. Every campaign does it. It's probably the oldest campaign tactic in the history of campaign tactics, right? Well, Mitt Romney now is going after the president for character assassination, and we'll talk by This Is So Hypocritical in a second. Play that audio, John.
I was asked by someone here about whether I had seen the New York Times article with regards to a PAC that was presumably being formed to attack President Obama, and if I had a reaction to it. I had not seen the article at that point, but I read the article on the aircraft. As I read the article, I want to make it very clear. I repudiate that effort. I think it's the wrong course for a PAC or a campaign. I hope that our campaigns can respectively be about the future and about issues and about a vision for America. I've been disappointed in the president's campaign to date, which is focused on character assassination. I just think that we're wiser to talk about the issues of the day, what we do to get America working again, and talk about our respective records.
All right. Well, you know, and I wish we had time, but we don't. Folks, what Mitt Romney just said is, I don't want the campaign to focus on me as a person. I just want the campaign to focus on what I say as a candidate. Now, that, I mean, I'm actually okay with that, because Mitt Romney gets so much wrong. Mitt Romney is, by the way, are you folks all aware that under the Romney economic plan, it actually costs us more money than the Obama economic plan does? It does. That's a verifiable fact. You know, and again, I'm going to challenge you to prove me wrong. The Mitt Romney campaign gets it wrong. The Paul Ryan plan that he endorses, and by the way, the Mitt Romney economic plan goes much further than the Paul Ryan plan. But let's just stick to facts for a second. The Mitt Romney economic plan continues to cut taxes to the wealthy, continues to put the burden of paying for government on the middle class, all the while creating more debt than the Obama plan ever would, could, or should. And yet, there are people that are actually saying Mitt Romney's going to dig us out of this. He's going to put us deeper into it. Folks, those are verifiable facts. Again, prove me wrong. I dare you. I dare you to prove me wrong. With a, by the way, an independent source. Well, that'll trip you all up. We have to take a break. Joe DeSano in the next hour. I got to tell you, I can't wait to get into national politics. Soon enough, we're going to be living in that world. Folks, you think I'm good with local stuff? Wait till we get to the national stuff. I'll be on fire. We'll take the break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're still watching that accident that's causing problems on 96 eastbound at Milford Road. Has your left two lanes blocked in the construction zone, and has caused stopped traffic from Pleasant Valley Road. Also, we got slow pockets of traffic on westbound 94 between Cadieu and 75. And it's a slow go on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 77. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. This weekend, sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 49 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn to Trump.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van. Facebook is friending Wall Street this morning. The social network giant begins selling stock on the NASDAQ at $38 a share. NBC's Savannah Guthrie.
By the end of this day, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg could find himself one of the richest men in the country. The question is, can Facebook turn its popularity into a business model that really works?
The two-week skid continues on Wall Street, the Dow shedding another 156 yesterday. Stock futures point to a higher open. President Obama dons his diplomatic hat today as he greets the new socialist president of France, François Hollande. Then it's on to Camp David to host a G8 economic summit. East Coast Occupy Wall Street members say they'll be out in force to protest. And racing fans, we'll find out tomorrow if I'll Have Another can win another jewel in racing's Triple Crown. The 137th Preakness Stakes features the Kentucky Derby winner against arch-rival Bodemeister in a field of 11. You can watch it on NBC. This is NBC News Radio. She was the queen of disco, singing Hot Stuff and Last Dance. Five-time Grammy Award winner Donna Summer has died of cancer at 63. Her hits topped the charts when disco ruled the dance floor in the late 70s. Jury deliberations begin this morning at the trial of former presidential candidate John Edwards, charged with using donations to hide his pregnant mistress during the 2008 campaign. NBC's Lisa Myers.
The jury begins deliberations and will decide whether Edwards gets to go on with his life or becomes a convicted felon. If found guilty, he could face up to 30 years in prison.
And it's not the kind of finger food you brag about, but Michigan teen Ryan Hart says he was chowing down on an Arby's sandwich and bit into a finger. Seems an Arby's worker lost the tip of her digit in a meat slicer and left without telling co-workers what was going on. Says Ryan, it was just nasty. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Dirk Van. NBC News Radio.
Mike Rowe here at a Ford dealer with a little Q&A for Fiona. According to the signs, Ford is having some sort of a big tire event. How would you describe the event?
It's big.
The savings one might enjoy at the event.
They're big.
What about the selection?
Big.
Get the low-priced tire guarantee, plus a $100 rebate when you buy four select tires.
So I think we can agree then that Ford's tire event is good-sized.
No, Michael. It's big.
Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 5/31/12.
Hey, check this out. Here's an email Walmart got the other day.
Hey, Walmart. I bought a home last year that had a lot of fixing up to do. The deck had to be stained. I looked into one of the big home improvement stores, but I was overwhelmed with the price. Then I was getting groceries at Walmart, and I was amazed to find a Projects Made Simple section with a video on this very project. The next day, I had my deck stained by the afternoon. Sweet. Ricky Wayne, Oldsmar, Florida.
There you have it. Everything you need to stain your deck like Flood Exterior Stain and the Wagner Power Painter. See for yourself. Only at Walmart.
$104 billion. That is Facebook's approximate value as a company following its initial stock offering late yesterday, and as Facebook shares begin trading on the NASDAQ at 11 Eastern this morning. Just how big does that make Facebook? It is now more valuable than Amazon and Disney, more than twice as valuable as Hewlett-Packard, Starbucks, and Target, four times as valuable as Dell. It would take 10 Nokias to equal the valuation of the social network, and more than 100 New York Times companies. Stock futures are gaining, S&P futures up 7, NASDAQ futures rising 13. Facebook hype is helping Wall Street traders focus domestically rather than on what's happening in Europe. That's where markets are falling in the wake of 16 credit downgrades of Spanish banks by Moody's Investor Service. In fact, the only European market bucking the trend is the Spanish one. Traders responding to a report Spain's government may ban short trading of banks, basically betting against them. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Attention residents of this neighborhood. My name is Dave, and I'm opening a new sporting goods store right down the street. So, listen, if you're into sporting goods, stop in and buy some of my competitively priced gear. You won't regret it.
There's an easier, more effective way to find the customers that matter most. With Every Door direct mail from the Postal Service, you can reach every home, every address, every time. Visit USPS.com/mail to learn more.
Oh, one more thing. Since I'm here, has anyone seen my cat?
Forward, so does the rest of the economy. CSX trains are the most cost-efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get a brake done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Now, buy four select name brand tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
$100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicles.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, actually, and a pleasure to be with you. I know that you, everybody that was listening at 6 o'clock, and of course, you know, it grew at 7, and then, of course, it's Friday at 8, so it's Joe DeSano time, which means it's the biggest crowd we'll have all week. Pleasure to be with you all this morning. Thanks for all of the interaction. Appreciate it. And we've got a lot to get to. So what I want to do is instead of spouting off, because I can do that on my way home, actually, and drive Anthony crazy, let's do an intro and we'll get Joe DeSano on.
With his razor-sharp precision.
First Shift welcomes back
Michigan's most informed political insider.
You don't even know where to start. To belabor the cowboy point, it's the wild Midwest out there. I just take such joy in watching the far-right wingers go spastic over this, because really, I think it is sound public policy, and, you know, there's the old cliche of the stop clock, because you even write twice a day.
Partner in Main Street Strategies, Mr. Joe DeSano.
That's right, Mr. Joe DeSano, because that's a sign of respect, and God knows we have plenty of that for Joe DeSano. Joe, welcome back. Pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, always a pleasure to be back, and, you know, it's nice to be treated with respect for once, so thank you.
Well, once a week for about 45 minutes or so, you know you're going to get it from me. I appreciate the hard work that you and Todd Cook do at Main Street Strategies, and hey, it's not easy being you.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you were having some Roy Schmidt fun this week, because every article I read that had anything to do with them, you were quoted. And one of my favorites, and I would be paraphrasing, one of my favorites this week was, hey, the Republicans were brilliant in masterminding this thing, but what a jack-off this guy is. I loved it.
Well, and I'll stand by the quote. I mean, from a political strategy point of view, it was quite a coup. The problem is they've welcomed the whore into their house, and you can't trust him now either.
Yeah, you. In fact, one of the other quotes, and I don't know. I don't know who, which news outlet. My headphones just blew a circuit, so I'm only hearing out of partial ear here for some reason. Anyway, one of the things that you said was, it's kind of like if you are married and have an affair. Does the mistress, if you end up with the mistress, does she really think that you're good to go? No, I mean, she. You know what? What are the odds he's going to cheat on you too, Joe?
Well, I don't think he's going to switch back, and frankly, I don't think he's welcome. But I think there is some serious character flaws with this guy that have kind of been come into stark contrast. I mean, one of the quotes and interviews he had done was talking about how he was so personally hurt and upset at the response to his switching parties. And as you know, I know Susan Demas said earlier in the week that this was not a thing of conscience. I mean, he didn't tell anyone he was going to do this. He never made his complaints and concerns, if they were legitimate, he never made them, you know, known to anyone. This was a pure crass political move. And you got to question the character of someone who would do that, someone who would host a fundraiser for himself, accept money from Democrats on Friday, and switch parties on Tuesday.
Well, that is, of course, quite problematic, isn't it?
Well, it's problematic, but also I think it shows a significantly deep character flaw within this person.
You know, we had Susan Demas on the show yesterday, Joe, and I agreed with something she said, and I don't think you'll disagree with it. He's not the first person to switch parties, and I don't even have a problem with somebody switching parties, but there's a right and a wrong way to do this. It's easy to suggest this was the wrong way for a variety of reasons. You, of course, have just articulated some of them in the last few seconds. I find this really troubling for his staff. Imagine working in that office to find out before the media or after the media finds out that your boss has switched parties. Imagine picking up the phone and saying your thoughts and you're thinking, what the hell are you talking about? This was just wrong. I mean, there's no way to justify what he did to his staff.
Well, there's no way to justify him taking money from Democrats, having Democratic staffers walk in his district the day before the filing deadline. I mean, these are people who used up their vacation time to go help him be elected as a Democrat, and within less than 24 hours, he screws them all. And this is one of the most outrageous things I've ever seen in politics. Usually you can see these things coming because there is, like Susan said on the show, there's a progression here of opinions, of evolving of philosophies. None of that was here. This was crass political move. And here's the great thing about it. If he's doing this move, if Roy Schmidt does this move based on future electability, he's going to have a real tough time dealing with the right-wingers over there because he will never be accepted. He will never be pure enough for the crazy right-wingers of West Michigan.
Yeah, this idea that he somehow ends up with the Jace Bolger seal of approval is enough for people to go, well, if he's good enough for Mr. Bolger, then he's got to be good enough for us. That's a lie.
And that doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And whatever you want to say about the far right wingers out there, they've got a long memory, and they're not going to forget how this went down. And it's always going to be in the back of their mind. We can't trust this guy.
Well, there's no question. I did want to quickly mention, because we haven't had a chance to do this, the young man that was supposedly running as the Democrat in the district that he never lived in, and we can talk about that in a moment, Joe. He did walk away from the race yesterday. He withdrew his name. He will not be running.
Correct. Yeah, he pulled out. The amateur bodybuilder pulled out, and there is no Democrat on the ballot, which then opens up the scenario where there can be a write-in candidacy. And I think you only need 5% of the actual voters who show up on election day to write in a name to qualify that person for the November ballot. So I'm sure you're going to see over the next couple of days a lot of folks pondering if they want to throw their name out there to take Roy Schmidt on in the general election in November. I do think that initially I thought no one's ever going to beat Roy Schmidt in November. The way this thing has played out in the media has been a disaster for Roy Schmidt. And now I'm starting to think that the right Democrat could actually take him out in November. And I think that discussion needs to be had. But it needs to be a very specific type of person. It can't be some of the names I've been hearing. It's got to be someone fresh, someone who can go right at this without maybe any scandal or legislative record to attack.
Well, again, this is, you know, Joe, of all the, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the political intrigue that happens as we, of course, this week got to the filing deadline. And there are some races, especially some primary races, Democrat against Democrat, which both at the congressional level, at the state House level, that create some challenges for the voters, not to mention, and we do need to also have the conversation about gaining back the House here in the state of Michigan. So why don't we work backwards? Your thoughts on the Democrats getting the majority in the House in light of what's just happened, and how much does what Roy Schmidt does affect that reality?
It affects the reality. It diminishes the prospects for Democrats winning the majority. Unlike some people, I don't think it's the death knell for the possibility of a Democratic majority. I don't believe in that kind of really kind of defeatist attitude, because there's so many things that can happen in the next 6 months. And I'm a believer that this kind of thing, there's a karmic payback involved. And I think there's the possibility here of really, like I said previously, the right Democrat can take out Roy Schmidt, because I am struck at the personal offense that Grand Rapids Democrats have felt at this. These are people who loved and trusted this man, and he betrayed all of them. So I'm not going to say the Democratic majority is out of reach. I think the hill is a little bit tougher to climb, but hopefully we can get our act together and still put a Democrat in the Speaker's chair and put a check on the Senate agenda.
Well, I would guess when I talk to Mark Brewer on Monday, he's going to have something to say about this. I've never actually asked you to do this publicly or on air, but do you think Mark Brewer's reaction to this has been strong enough?
Yeah, actually I do, because, you know, he was thrown into this as a straw man, and he's been pretty clear that his relationship with with Roy Schmidt has always been very cordial and collegial. But that didn't stop them, stop the Republicans from using him as the straw man, as the reason why he flipped parties.
All right. Well, Joe, hold that thought. We need to take a quick break here. I need to go find some more headphones because I can barely hear you. And we've got so much to get to. Folks, everybody stay right where you're at. Joe DeSana with Main Street Strategies is my guest. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. This is for a shift on 1310 WDTW. We will be right back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
We're still watching stop-and-go traffic on 96 eastbound between US 23 and Kensington Road. That's due to an earlier accident. We also got a slow go on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. And also got pockets of slow traffic on westbound 94 between Cadieux and 75. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 77. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. This weekend, sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 49 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark.
Student loan debt, it's a debt that can never go away. You can go bankrupt and the government will still force you to pay on your student loans. You could be 80 years old, like I met a lady, and she still has to pay on her student loans, even though she's on a fixed income and she'll never be able to pay it off. This debt is also costing us jobs, because think about it. Our graduates, those who are motivated, disciplined, and ambitious to go to school and get their education, they're the ones likely to go into business to create jobs. But they can't do that because they're in so much student loan debt, they don't have the money to start their own business or buy a home or maybe even get married.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. Joe DeSano, my guest. He, of course, a partner with Main Street Strategies. They are a political consulting firm. I would imagine that they are busy, and they are going to get busier. Joe, as I said before the break, we've got a lot of Democrats that are going to be running in primaries against other Democrats. That isn't news, but the amount of Democrats that are currently in the House running against in the same district, Democrats that are already in the House, this may be a record number.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a record number, but certainly as a result of Republicans controlling the redistricting process from beginning to end, they had a list of Democrats they wanted to get rid of, and now those Democrats are thrown in with each other, and now we're going to have some bloody fights in the next 90 days.
Now, are any of these districts where the Democrats have a primary, is this pretty much, well, whichever one wins then will be the rep, or do they have tough Republican challengers along the way?
No, these are all Democratic-based districts where there's so many Democrats packed into the district that there's no way that a Republican will win in these.
All right, well, that's just it. Go ahead. What were we going to say?
I was just going to say, so August is really the determining factor on who is the representative for that district.
Any of these seats, and there are a handful. John Alumba will, and interestingly, could have just moved a little bit and been in a seat all by himself, decided not to do it and run against Dr. Jimmy Womack. And there are others. One that really, because I happen to like John Spitalski a great deal, for a variety of reasons, but he's of course in a primary with Democrat Lisa Liss. Why don't we start with that one, and then we'll move to a couple others.
Well, yeah, the Spitalski versus Liss race in Warren, and Liss is going to clean her clock. She doesn't have the energy. She doesn't have the organization. More importantly, she doesn't have a Democratic voting record that will allow her to overtake Mr. Spitalski. She's the one who co-sponsored the Republican bill that would allow, or that would create, an Arizona-style immigration rule here in Michigan. I mean, she was the only Democrat who signed on to that bill. I would expect John Spitalski to take that and then clobber her over the head with it. She's been very, very friendly with the Republicans, and there will be a price to pay for that in August 7th, and she'll go back to nursing in January of next year.
Now, another one, and again, there's a reason to believe, let me first just say it's Maureen Stapleton versus Rashida Tlaib. I happen to love the activist record of Rashida Tlaib. She shows up where she needs to be. She brings the fight to the people. She's not afraid to stand with them. Maureen Stapleton, unfortunately, has a problem similar to Lisa Liss in that not every one of her votes has been kind to Democrats. So she's not been the best Democrat she could be.
You know, I'm going to hold my tongue on this because Maureen is a client of my firm.
Okay.
So I need to be very careful how I talk about that and talk about the campaign. So I will just say that I think she's been an extremely loyal Democrat who's shown independent streak. How about that?
Okay, well, then we'll agree to disagree on that. Now, I do find there is one where Barb Byram is leaving. Everybody says that's a 50-50 seat. Could go to Republican, could go to a Democrat. I think that's an important pickup for the state party and for the House. I don't know much about the Democrat that's running in that district. Do you know much about that race, Mark? I'm Joe.
Yeah, I do. One thing I would say, it's not a pickup; it's a retention.
Right. I'm sorry, because you're right. It would be a retention.
We need to be very careful. That's not a plus one. That's just treading water to win. But I agree that it's absolutely a must win for Democrats in November. And again, I got to be careful because one of the candidates in this race is a client. But there are really two Democrats running for this. There's three on the ballot, but the third is superfluous. But it really is, Walt Sorg, a former radio guy, former Democratic staffer, versus my client in the race. And, you know, so I have to be very careful how I speak about it.
Are you allowed to say your client's name?
You know what? I'm going to make you guess.
All right. Well, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Oh, hold on one second. I'm sorry. I apologize.
For people that they don't know, you've been quite sick, so that would explain what happened. Anyway, go ahead. You were saying?
Well, anyways, that's a race that is extremely important here for Democrats, and you know, I think my guy, who shall remain nameless, I don't want to be abusing the privilege of being on the air with you. I think he's a superior candidate, and I think he's the only Democrat who can hold the race for Democrats in November. So I feel pretty good about our chances in the primary, and I feel pretty good about our chances for the election in the general.
You know, let me quickly turn our attention before we have to take a break for the bottom of the hour, because we have a lot to get to on the other side as well. Yesterday, the Gary Peters campaign sent out a letter with a massive list of endorsements, a lot of important people within the African-American community coming out in support of the congressman. I understand why. I understand what he's done. I actually had an interesting conversation with somebody, and you and I can talk about this privately because I don't feel like I can mention this person's name on air because it breaches a protocol, an ethical protocol. But I will say that Gary Peters has done a stunning job of protecting his new turf, and I got to tell you, I'm impressed, Joe.
I would disagree with you. I don't think it's protecting his new turf. I think it's raiding Hanson Clark's old turf.
Oh, well, fair enough. No, that's fair enough.
Yeah, and that's no disrespect to Hanson Clark. I just think that these people have all made the calculation, and don't believe for a second that this was absolutely a political calculation, that there's no way Hanson Clark can win. Because, look, politicians are basically cowards, okay? They're not going to stick their neck out for another politician unless they're absolutely sure they're on the winning side. And there are just too many people who have made the calculation that Gary Peters is going to win, that this can't be seen as anything more than almost, I'm not going to say all, but almost a complete collapse of Hanson Clark's support within the city of Detroit's political structure.
Well, you know, and in a separate conversation with another person yesterday as we were talking about this, you know, Gary Peters has been a surprise to some in the progressive community. He really has. He's been more progressive than some thought he could be. He was also an important cog in figuring out the General Motors and Chrysler bridge loans. He was an important negotiator in that process for the White House. So this is not a guy that hasn't earned some of the accolades that he's received. And trust me, as we move forward, folks, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about all these races. We do need to take a quick break here. Joe DeSano, again, is with me. When we come back, we're going to update you on a story that we actually talked about yesterday. I don't know if update's the right word, but certainly talk further about that nurse in Lansing that was called the C word. What has happened since then? Well, surprisingly, not a lot. And I say surprisingly because this is inexcusable. Anyway, we've got a lot to get to yet. Stay where you're at. I am Tony Trupiano. First Shift continues right after this, even with all this weird new Jeff music.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're still watching stop-and-go traffic on 96 eastbound between U.S. 23 and Kensington Road. That's due to an earlier accident. We also got a slow go on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. And also got pockets of slow traffic on westbound 94 between Cadju and 75. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 77. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. This weekend, sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 49 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDPW.com today.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jim Peterson, you just retired, so why would you want to step up into this role of candidate and ultimately, of course, with the goal of being elected to the State House?
Well, Tony, after watching this train wreck of a legislature and governors stumble from one anti-union thing, anti-worker thing, anti-retiree thing to the next, I couldn't not do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Attention foodies, let's chow down. There's a new craze in cuisine world, and it's going 180 degrees in the opposite direction from the healthy eating movement we hear so much about. For example, instead of locally sourced beets and jicama on sustainably raised arugula dressed with small batch artisan balsamic vinegar, we're talking a big Pizza Hut pepperoni and gooey cheese pie with, get this, a long looping hot dog stuffed right into the crust. Or, if that's not caloric enough for you, Pizza Hut is also offering a Belt Buster pizza that is ringed by a dozen mini cheeseburgers baked directly onto the crust. Hey, some might see obesity as a crisis, but Yum Brands, Inc., the conglomerate that owns Pizza Hut, sees it as a money-making opportunity. Don't fight it, feed it. Not to be outdone, the Burger King chain is test marketing a stunning advance in fusion cuisine at one of its Nashville outlets. It marries two essential food groups together, ice cream and pork. Yes, America, get ready for the Bacon Sundae, topped off with caramel and chocolate syrup. The pioneering innovator in obesity grub, however, comes from the place where anything goes and too much is never enough, Las Vegas. Many top chefs have opened four-star restaurants along the Las Vegas Strip, but none can outstrip a local diner when it comes to extravagant excess. The Heart Attack Grill takes pride in deep fried, and its menu is filled with unhealthy eats. Renowned for its quadruple bypass burger, butter fat shakes, and flatliner fries cooked in pure lard, the grill brags that it serves food with, quote, taste worth dying for. Indeed, two diners have collapsed so far this year while pounding down bypass burgers. This is Jim Hightower saying, so weigh in and bon appetit. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDPW.com today.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Joe DeSano again with Main Street Strategies is my guest. A little bit more on candidates than actually only one more, and then we'll move on to the story that I mentioned that we actually talked with John Cribbian yesterday about from the Michigan Nurses Association. But, Joe, interestingly, former Republican Rep. Paul Scott deciding not to run for, I don't know if we call it re-election, I don't know what we would call it. He, of course, was ousted in a recall back in February. Glad to see him go. According to the article that I have in front of me, he would have won in a primary head-to-head, yet he decides not to run. I'm thrilled at the end of the day, but what do you make of all this?
I think a couple things. One, I think most of the sources of money outside of his own pocket, I think, probably dried up. I mean, remember there was the whole scandal leading or in the wake of the recall where his Republican colleagues found out that he took the money that they donated to the recall campaign and put it in his own back pocket to pay off his loans to himself. So essentially what he did is use their campaign money and used it as a personal ATM to reimburse himself, as opposed to spending that money on a recall that ultimately I think was pretty darn close. So many Republicans in Michigan here feel that he took the money that could have been used to keep that seat for the Republicans and keep him in office. He cashed out. He used them as an ATM, and I think I think they closed ranks around Joe Graves, the person who replaced Paul Scott in the recent special election, and I think many doors that he was expecting to be wide open were shut for him.
Well, let's keep in mind that even Governor Snyder campaigned to raise money to keep him in office, and you can't piss off everybody from where you're at up and expect to get away with it. So I'm not surprised that he decided not to run again.
What I was surprised is he was actually going door to door already. He had done a couple different mailings to voters and then pulled the plug. I think probably he's going to fade away into obscurity now, which, at one point he was telling people that he was the Republican Tiger Woods. Of course, that description turned out to be more appropriate than we ever could have imagined when he was going around saying that.
Break out the version of Love Child.
Yeah. Right. He got his staffer pregnant. And so I just tell people that, he's engaged to another woman at the moment. So I just say that he wanted to spend more time with his families.
Okay, families, welcome to Mitt Romney's world. Okay, anyway, moving on. The Michigan Nurses Association was on with us yesterday, Joe, and it just happened to be coincidentally because we were having John Cribbian on to talk about his trip to the rally in Chicago to support the National Nurses Association and what they were doing there with the Robin Hood tax, which was great. It just so happened a story breaks that's pretty outrageous. I'm talking about Representative Frank Foster of Petoskey, who really picked a fight with a woman who was cutting her grass, and based on the fact that he supposedly had an autistic child that was being disturbed by this. Now, listen, there are still parts of this story that just don't make sense. But one thing does make sense. He needs to apologize to this woman because there's nothing that she did that was wrong. And to call a woman the C word because you're frustrated with her is not something any man should do, let alone a state representative, Joe.
Well, here's the story behind the story that I think is going to come out. That particular home where this occurred is pretty much considered the exclusive party spot for Lansing Republicans. So they all get together at it's owned by another Republican state representative, and he rents out rooms to Republicans who spend the week up in Lansing and then travel back to their districts on the weekend. Petoskey's a more than a stone's throw away from Lansing, so Foster stays here Petoskey's, you can't commute, so you got to find a place to stay, and so essentially it's a GOP flop house. And they all get together on the patio in the evening and smoke their cigars and drink their cognac. And they were very, very upset that this woman next door had the audacity to mow her lawn at 7:30 at night. I mean, they were just so upset that she was mowing the lawn. And so they had the confrontation. I would tend to believe her word that he dropped the C-bomb. Although, I got to say, dropping the C-bomb, using that on a woman is tough, okay? Saying it in front of a kid, that's even worse.
There you go.
There's an angle here that, a four-year-old autistic kid doesn't need to know that C-word exists. So I think there's going to be much more about this story coming out, maybe in the days and weeks ahead about some of the activities that are going on there at the flop house.
Well, let me ask you a question. Maybe you know the answer to it. Does Frank Foster have a child?
Well, that's just it. I mean, there before this event, there were the rumors that he did.
All right, but on his on his bio, it says he doesn't have children. That's why I asked.
Correct. And he possibly could have a Paul Scott problem, I suppose.
Well,
I'm not the first person to suggest that.
Well, here's my issue with this. I understand if in fact we had a woman call the show yesterday that has an autistic child that is sound sensitive. So they deal with that in a variety of ways, including if the child's being bothered, they remove the child. They don't ask everybody else in the world to stop what they're doing, okay? So they deal with this realistically.
Right.
Here's the situation. if he is living in the supposed flop house for Republicans, is his quote-unquote child staying with him there? Is it an appropriate place for a child to be? We're talking again about a four-year-old. And then, as you just said, rightfully so, bad enough to say that to a woman, really inexcusable and to begin with, but really inexcusable when you say it in front of a four-year-old. Joe, this the and again, Jace Bolger does need to respond to this.
Well, so far he's done a pretty good job avoiding it. And to Foster's benefit, it came out during a week where there were just so many important news stories popping. I mean, the Paul Scott news at noon on Tuesday was the biggest news of the day. And 4 hours later, no one was even thinking about it when the Roy Schmidt party flip happened. So this has been a week chock full of shocking news. But the people who know Paul Scott, or excuse me, Frank Foster, none of them, I think, are surprised at his behavior. I mean, there have been rumors of carousing and drunken escapades all over Lansing and East Lansing. Of course, we have his colleague, Bob Janetsky, who was pinched by the East Lansing PD for drunk driving. These guys are living the animal house lifestyle. And you can't keep it under wraps for forever.
This is just insane. And the worst thing is, as you know, John Cribbian told us yesterday, Joe DeSano, they have witnesses. This isn't a he said, she said situation. There are witnesses to this.
Well, there are witnesses, but most of the witnesses, as best I can tell, are Republican staffers and sycophants. So I don't expect sworn affidavits on defending the Michigan Nurses Association woman. I don't expect them to step up to the plate and do the right thing and frankly tell the truth.
Well, this is just blowing my mind. All right, very quickly, and I don't have enough time to get to the audio. Laura Cox, a Wayne County commissioner, the only Republican on the Wayne County Commission, tried a procedural move yesterday to get, and she had some support amongst Democrats, to get a vote, and it would have been procedural because there's really nothing in place in the county charter that would have allowed it to happen, to remove or ask Bob Ficano to resign his position as Wayne County executive. Any thoughts on that?
I do. I mean, you and I have a difference of opinion on, you know, Ficano's fitness for office. My real issue with what happened yesterday is the lack of loyalty on behalf of one county commissioner, Lona Varga. Lona Varga, in her last race, raised approximately $10,300. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
$10,000 of it came from Bob Ficano. Yesterday, she seconded the motion here to discuss the issue of getting rid of Ficano. To me, I'm a believer in what Tip O'Neill said about politics. Dance with the one that brought you. Alona Varga, whether she's right or wrong on this, and we can have a fair discussion on that, showed yesterday that she is just as nasty and disloyal as this Roy Schmidt is in Grand Rapids. You know what? If Bob Ficano was a scumbag yesterday, he was a scumbag when you took the $10,000 from him.
I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to disagree with anything you've said.
The theme of the week is loyalty. Dance with the one that brought you.
All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there. Joe, I got to tell you, this has been one of my favorite weeks so far. This has been great, and we'll look forward. Actually, we're taking next Friday off. We're going to take a long holiday weekend. So you have my permission to take a four-day weekend as well. Not that you need my permission to take a four-day weekend.
I will be going up to see St. Marie, that works out perfectly for me.
Well, good. Enjoy it, and I'm sure that I will talk to you anyway this week. But listen, have a great day. Thanks so much today. We appreciate it. Main Street Strategies, folks, is who Joe represents. We're going to take a break. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
In 2009, I took office in the face of some enormous challenge. Now, some have said I blame too many problems on my predecessor, but let's not forget that's a practice that was initiated by George W. Bush.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let me welcome to First Shift Representative Richard Hamill.
Now, to give a bill an immediate effect, which means the bill would take effect directly after the governor signs the bill, unless there's something within the bill that there's a provision for it to be extended. But the Constitution clearly says that if 20% or one-fifth of the members in the House of Representatives want to have a record roll call vote on an immediate effect, that that should be granted. And we have not had the ability at all in this last little bit to be able to have a record roll call vote on immediate effect. I'll say not ever all. There's less than five times in the 560 times we passed the bill where we've had immediate effect votes. So at least slow the process down a little bit. Doesn't change the legislation. Doesn't say that people can't pass things that they want. Majority parties have that ability in that center, but we say the Constitution says that you should have the opportunity to slow it down just a hair.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, again, my thanks to Joe DeSano. We appreciate the time that he gives us every Friday. I know you appreciate it as well. Sometimes a little more controversial than others, but that's okay. That's what makes for good radio. I said we didn't have time to do this during a segment, but we did have some audio on what happened at the Wayne County Commission meeting yesterday. Channel 4 WDIV reports on Laura Cox's effort to remove Bob Ficano.
It didn't react very well because she's been trying for the last 3 months to get this thing on the agenda, but she can't get it past the chairman, Gary Warrenchuk. So they went today and twice tried to get it on the agenda and was twice rebuffed. But that did not stop many in the audience here who feel that somebody needs to stand up and say something, and they went on the record saying, hey, we've got to at least take the vote.
They're tired of the corruption in Wayne County government. So we're asking you to do what we put you in office. You work for us. I don't understand why y'all don't get that.
Let's have this vote up or down, yes or no. We need to know where everybody stands so this circus can't end. We need to move on.
And so at this point, it isn't on the agenda. They haven't voted on it, but clearly there is a groundswell here to try and at least ask the county executive, Robert Fracano, to step down. But the problem for the county commission is that there really aren't any teeth in this because there is no mechanism for the county commission to ask the executive to step down or to take him out of office. And so that may be part of it, but there's also a lot of politics going on here as well. Coming up on Local 4 News at 5, we'll take a closer look at what...
Okay, well, we're not going to take a closer look at it, but thank you anyway. So that's basically what happened. Listen, emotions are going to run high and low and everywhere in between. I got to tell you, from my perspective, it's time for him to go. I've made that clear. We'll see how this plays out. He may just end up getting indicted, and he may not. I would have thought it would have happened by now, but I'm not the FBI, and they're going to do things their way. A couple of quick announcements before we let you get out of here today. Want to remind you that on Sunday, May 27th, from 2 to 5 o'clock at Colors Restaurant in Detroit, there is a fundraiser for Congressman John Conyers. Our friend Jim Hightower will be a special guest at this fundraiser. Of course, you hear him twice a day on this very program. If you would like to go, send an email to dsagreen@aol.com, dsagreen@aol.com, and you will get all of the information you need right there. So that's, again, coming up on Sunday, May 27th from 2 to 5 p.m. Last call. Tomorrow, the Democratic Spring Gala at 7 p.m. at the Meadowbrook Country Club, sponsored by the Northville, Livonia, Plymouth Community, and West Oakland Democratic Clubs. They're going to have a big crowd there. The keynote speaker is Congressman Hanson Clark. And again, if you would like to get tickets, I would imagine at this point it'll have to be at the door. Again, it's at the Meadowbrook Country Club, but call 734-776-1763 or send an email to jamesamar@wideopenwest.com. And what's really important, not that that's not important, but really important is the Projectar Jobs Blitz tomorrow. It's happening all over. I'm going to quickly go through these locations. We also posted it to the Facebook page, and perhaps I'll post it again so it's near the top, and I'll do that when I get back to the office. But at the Detroit Federation of Teachers offices on West Grand Boulevard, in Flint at UAW Region 1C, in Lansing at the Plumbers and Pipefitters Local 333 on Martin Luther King Boulevard, in Mount Clemens, that's going to be the drive-through event at CWA Local 4008 in Mount Clemens again. In Western Wayne at UAW Region 1A, right on Telegraph, and in Saginaw at UAW Local 467, and that's on Farmer Street in Saginaw. This is going to, again, be tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's the big signature collecting blitz. And so you should get out there, if you can get out, to any of those locations. And if you've not yet signed the petition, you need to go out and do that. All right. I want to remind you, if you do have an announcement that you would like me to get out, all you have to do is send it in advance, and I will do my best to do that. Some of you are sending me stuff that I won't be able to announce for like 4 or 5. Some of it's even 6 weeks from now. I can't start, and the reason I bring this up is some of you have said you're not mentioning my event. I can't start mentioning stuff 6 weeks out. It just makes no sense to do that. But I promise I've got a little file. I'll keep it in there. If you would, though, it's a little easier for me if you send something a couple weeks out, and then I'm happy to, and I truly, I am, I'm happy to make sure that I get that information out. Quickly, I want to let you know that there is an event this morning at 11 o'clock, a news conference, a noteworthy news conference, where immigration rights folks, Ryan Bates and the good people that work there, will be delivering hundreds of signatures to the immigration office in support of Gustavo Vargas. And to try to stop his deportation after being here 24 years. He's a taxpayer. He has a family, etc. If you'd like to show up, it's going to begin to be at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement offices at 333 Mount Elliott, just off of Jefferson. So if you want to get out there at 11 o'clock this morning and support that effort, please make an effort to do that. All right, that pretty much cleans it up for us today. There's so much going on. I really wanted to talk about the teacher's retirement thing, but I just didn't have time, and hopefully we'll have some time next week, although Jeff told me before the show that we're pretty well full for next week already, so we just have to take care of it. What do you got going on this weekend, Jeff? Anything important?
No.
Okay. Just going to hang out?
That's my prediction.
That's your prediction. That was our first word.
Way to tie it back into the show. What a pro.
Do you need a little help patting yourself on the back, or are you okay all on your own?
I'm all right.
You sure? I don't mind coming in there and patting you on the back or asking Anthony to do it.
It's this crazy music. It's got me all loopy.
Yeah, where the hell did all this music come from?
Well, no, the last one was pretty good, and I don't know what the next one is, but it's pretty good as well. The other two, though, were from a popular TV show that me and Anthony like.
It's always... I didn't say I didn't like the show. In fact, you told me about it, and then Anthony turned me on to it, and it's actually quite funny. A little disturbing, but quite funny. So I'll
disturbing is a good word for it.
Yeah, no question about that. Anthony, what do you got going on this weekend?
I actually got a graduation party. College graduation.
Ah, who?
Paul, my buddy Paul.
Paul. Okay. Sorry. And then you told me that I was tweeted by Willie today for saying what?
I'd be on fire.
Well, I was on fire. I don't like these headphones, so, Anthony, we do have more at home, right? I can...
I'll pull out a
pair. Oof, these are nasty. So now I feel bad for my guests that have to wear these when they're in studio. We'll have to do something about that. There's a ringing in my ear, and the phone isn't going off. Anyway, that'll do it for us for today. Anthony and Jeff, thanks for another great week. I want to thank this audience. Off the air, of course, Tony at thetonyshow.org. Don't forget at the Eastern Market this weekend, flowers, plants galore. Go check it out. Folks, as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, we just got a report of an accident on 96 eastbound just before 75 and Wyoming Street northbound just before Warren. That's blocked due to a building fire. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 77. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. This weekend, sunny in the mid-80s. And it's currently 49 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit.